All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you here from New York City on the 18th day of April, 2017. Before I talk to you a little bit about today's show, let me remind you once again that I am the editor of Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and that you can subscribe to my letter by going to miningstocks.com, or you can call our office in New York during normal work hours, 718-457-1426, 718-457-1426. Also like to encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? And you can do that by going to ChenPicks.com. ChenPicks.com. Chen turned $5,400 of an IRA back in 2003 into $2.5 million in 10 years. So his track record speaks for itself. A good friend of mine, we still do business together, but I like to put in a little plug for Chen Lin from time to time. ChenPicks.com. I want to thank each of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Our sponsors for today's show are Dynacert Inc., Chilean Metals, Arvista Gold Corp., TriMetals Mining, Telson Resources, RN Resources, Novo Resources, and Uranium Energy Corp. I've titled today's show, Why You Can Bet Against Rising Interest Rates. Well, Michael Oliver, author of Momentum Structural Analysis, John Rubino, proprietor of DollarCollapse.com, and Patrick Cruikshank of Chilean Metals will be with me today, all return guests. And Brian London, who's been with me in the past, he is the author of Gold Newsletter, is my guest today on my newly formed Top Stock Picks podcast, which you can listen to at jtaylormedia.com as soon as you're finishing listening to this show, which will be over at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. In a pre-recorded interview I did yesterday with Brian, he talked about three companies, two of which are among my own favorites, and they are also sponsors of this show, and I'm talking about RN Resources and Arvista Gold. Please do yourself a favor and listen to what Brian had to say about those two companies, as well as a third company that he's picked recently and added to his newsletter called Tower Resources. In a few minutes, Patrick Cruikshank will tell us of the plans of Chilean Metals to find, well, they're in the hunt for a world-class iron oxide copper gold deposit in Chile and Nova Scotia. And this is a company that already has a major royalty that should begin providing cash flows to Chilean Metals in the fairly near future. We'll have to ask Patrick about that, how soon they'll be coming on. But in my view, that royalty alone probably more than justifies the current market cap of this company. So we'll hear what Patrick has to say after our first commercial break. And as I just noted, I titled today's show, Why You Can Bet Against Rising Interest Rates. And I gave this show that title because of an article that my main guest, John Rubino, wrote recently in which he pointed out that rates can't rise because if they do, it will bring about an economic devastation far greater than what our parents and grandparents experienced in the 1930s. Indeed, I will ask John about the evidence that policymakers are already using smoke and mirrors to try to keep people confident that the Federal Reserve has control of the economy and to keep interest rates suppressed so as not to spook the masses out of fiat money into gold. Well, for example, I want to ask John also about a huge amount of U.S. Treasury purchases by a mystery buyer that the Treasury Department simply labels other. And it's a major piece of the puzzle, and we don't know who that other is, but we'll want to get John's ideas on what might be going on there. But when we say the Fed can't raise rates, we put the word can't in quotes because there are laws of nature that cannot be defied by politicians and central bankers posing as gods. Longer term, Mother Nature will prevail. And to help us keep our feet on the ground, I'm really pleased to say hello once again to my good friend Michael Oliver, who is with us live this week. He won't be on Top Stock Picks because we're managing to get him to come on live. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Great to be here, Jay.
Oh, it's always so good to talk to you, Michael. And last week on my Top Stock Picks, you were on there, and you suggested that maybe gold bugs would do better to pay close attention to the dollar rather than to gold itself. Gold will take care of itself. You didn't seem to be too worried about the downside risks for gold. But you figured that the real upside push on gold and other precious metals and probably commodities in general, I guess, will come when the dollar sees a decline. What are your thoughts today on the dollar? I see it is somewhat weaker today, Michael.
Yeah, it's. I think the last time we spoke, it had rallied from a traded low for the year just below 99. Spent like 2 hours down there. That'd be in March, I think it was, and scooted back up to 101.50. We're talking about the dollar index now. Mm-hmm. And when we did that interview, I think the dollar was up in that area. Oh, it's now back down to 99.5. I can't seem to stay clear of our number. We had this number late last year, 99, and we said the dollar index closes, the cash index closes at 99 or lower any month, monthly close, not daily. So far, we haven't even had a daily close there. It's broken its major uptrend, and I'm measuring that on annual momentum, not on a price chart. Mm-hmm. And it toys with the number, toyed with it in February, toyed with it in March, and it keeps trying to hot-foot it off of it like, oh, I can't do that. It seems to know that our number is valid, and now it's headed back down there again. Sure enough, gold has made new recent highs, and we've got up at the high 1290. Somebody just in front of 1300 did some selling, but it hasn't really backed off that much, while the dollar has dropped a couple points in the last week or so. So again, I'm watching 99. If I see a monthly close there or lower, we go major negative. If I see a trade to 98, we go major negative without waiting for a monthly close. And I think that will provide a lot of impetus to a lot of markets to do a lot of different things. And in the case of gold and silver, they've done a lot of upside over the last year and a quarter since early 2016 without any help from the dollar.
Right.
No weakness
right.
from the dollar, just sideways. Imagine if the dollar gets weak. The gradient of the rise of gold and silver should increase markedly, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, we heard the president last week suggested he wants to see a weaker dollar, and by gosh, the dollar went a lot lower on that news, on that tweet, or whatever it was from the president. So clearly, there are some people that are cheering for a lower dollar. Of course, as you and I know, the market forces will ultimately prevail. Well, Michael, the big question on our show today is, can Treasury rates go down? John Rubino is going to argue that policymakers will do everything possible within their ability to suppress treasuries, to suppress interest rates because of the massive amounts of debt that is growing exponentially. And if rates were to rise anywhere near what they were historically, John argues that the world would be not only a hurt of pain, but probably a devastating depression. So
yeah,
what are you seeing in the Treasury markets right now?
Well, what we saw last October, we monitor Treasury bond futures. It's 30-year debt. Okay, they were up in the 170s, 160s. And at 166, we went major negative. Annual momentum trend broke down. Mm-hmm. They subsequently dropped from a price of 166 down to a low recently of 147, near 147. So a fairly sizable drop. That converted to a yield rise of about 1%.
Mm-hmm.
But we felt all during the last few months, while the bonds have been more or less congesting down here, that a sharp countertrend rally would occur, and that's underway right now. We're up 155 plus, so we're about almost 8 points off the low. Mm-hmm. We think it's got several more points to go and possibly hang around up here for a while. This is countertrend, meaning this rally, it was definable, but it is not the real trend. The real trend, I think, is down, meaning higher rates, lower prices, higher rates. But this rally needed to occur as a correction, an upside correction in a fresh downtrend. I think the point of panic among those who are watching interest rates will occur once this rally dip in rates in especially visible in the German bunds and in the U.S. government bonds. Not so visible, for example, in the Italian bonds, which aren't dipping. Their yields are staying firm. I think the point of panic occurs once we have this rally, it ends, we roll over, and T-bonds take out the low they made last month, which is down in the 147s. So, you know, you might get up to 157, let's say, just argument's sake. We go another few points. And then let's say a month later we roll back through that low. I think at that point most market watchers will then say, ooh, this is a little bit more than we thought. They've been very comfortable with the rise in rates so far because it's been modest.
Right.
But if you go back through that low after having had this corrective rally, then that downtrend in bonds is going to pick up speed, and we think you could take long-term yields, which had their lowest reading on T-bonds at 2.11% back in 2016, could go up to 4.25%.
Wow.
And that would be, you know, something that could even happen this year, assuming you go through that low that we made in March sometime in the next month or two. I think if you do that, then you're going to have a horrendous another leg down in bonds, and you'll jerk yields up another full percentage point to that 4.25. So that should be disturbing.
That will be very disturbing. I will certainly ask John Rubino when we talk to him later what he thinks a 4.25 rate would do. But certainly, you know, we're not used to those kind of rates, are we, Michael? And it's
it's been a long time. This is nothing to do with the academics who run the central banks. Okay, this is out of their hands at this point.
And, right.
Once that falls away, the curtain gets pulled back on the Wizard of Oz, and you see who's back there and is impotent. That's a factor that's psychological. Forget the markets. It's just this, the psychological thought that, my gosh, they're not in charge, as if they ever really were anyway.
I have to think, you know, we're going to be talking to John Rubino about this mystery buyer at the Treasury, and it certainly would seem as though they are trying to hide behind the curtain now. Clearly they don't want to name who that other buyer is of Treasuries, and it's a huge buyer. So we're going to ask John about that. It's very interesting, but, you know, trying to fool Mother Nature, that's what the politicians try to do. They try to play God as if they can do all kinds of miraculous things in exchange for votes, right? So ultimately,
when that belief structure fails, especially among investors, you'll have a lot of belief structures and connectivities will fail.
A tsunami to the downside, I dare say, I fear. But that's the way it is, and we have to call it as we see it. Thank you so much, Michael, for being with us once again.
It's
always great to have you with us. Okay, thank you very much. Well, folks, don't go away because Patrick Cruickshank will be here with us to talk about Chilean Metals, their intention to go out and find the next major IOCG deposit. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Patrick Cruickshank.
Auren Resources is a Canadian-based gold exploration company focused on the company's flagship Committee Bay project, located in northern Canada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. The company's current resource, outlined by drilling thus far, stands at 1.1 million ounces of gold at over 8 grams per ton. Auren is operated by the same team that founded Asanko Gold, which is constructing a major gold mine in West Africa, and Caden Resources, which was recently purchased in November for over $200 million.
Chilean Metals is a Canadian junior exploration company focusing on high potential copper, gold prospects in Chile and Canada. Chilean Metals' Zulima property is a Candelaria-like prospect, one of the largest mines in the world. The company has begun its drill program in Chile on its Zulima property and should be completed by the end of February. We also own a 3% royalty on future production on Teck Resources' Copaquiri property, potentially worth millions of dollars annually. This is the time to invest in Chilean Metals, a discovery story with a hedge. Traded TSX Venture under symbol CMX.
Telson Resources is building a new gold mine in Durango State that is destined to become one of the highest-grade gold producers in Mexico. Telson plans to commence production in early 2018 to mine over 1,000 tons per day by the end of the first year. Telson presents an exciting opportunity to investors seeking to position themselves in an exciting and robust new undervalued gold mine opportunity. Telson Resources trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under symbol TSN and on the OTCBB under symbol SOHFF. Tri-Metals Mining is a growth-focused mineral exploration company exploring and developing its near-surface Gold Springs gold-silver project in mining-friendly Nevada and Utah. Tri-Metals has only drilled less than 10% of the gold targets at Gold Springs, and it already has a gold resource with a robust preliminary economic assessment. Tri-Metals believes that with further drilling, there is a significant potential to discover 3 to 5 million ounces of gold at Gold Springs. Tri-Metals shares are listed on the OTCQX and the TSX under symbols TMIAF and TMI respectively, and its website is trimetalsmining.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.